are listening to ListCast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, leave a comment, or perhaps suggest a top 5 list for us to do on the show, you can drop us a line at listcast5@gmail.com or visit our website at listcast.podomatic.com. Now on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of ListCast. On this episode, we're going to lighten up a little bit, and we're gonna
be a little gay.
I didn't want to say it, man. All right, we're gonna embrace our
gayness.
All right, no. All right. We're just gonna embrace those things that we would otherwise keep to ourselves. In other words, this is our man crush episode. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about characters, not actually so much the actors, but characters from movies, male characters that we look at and we go, I get it. I get that if I was a girl, I'd hit that.
Yeah.
You know, or kind of right along with that, I would really like to just be that guy because he's so fucking cool. Yeah. You know, so
you can look at it from those two angles. Like, you can aspire to be like this guy.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you see it from a female perspective, I'd really want to hook up with this dude.
Yeah, I think somewhere in the middle is kind of what we're talking about here. So, let's just start, get right in. What's your number 5?
My number 5 is Frank Farmer from The Bodyguard, played by Kevin Costner.
All right, that's cool.
This was from 1992. It was written by Lawrence Kasdan. Frank Farmer is very meticulous and on the level. He's all business. And he doesn't seem very, like, physically intimidating. And that's something that throws Whitney Houston off at first. But he can fucking kick ass.
Sure. You know? Yeah, he knows all the moves. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, he's practicing, like, knife throwing.
Yeah, he's trained.
He's a very well-trained bodyguard. Mm-hmm. And he has a very long history of doing it. Of course, he has, like, this dark side. And he has his regrets about the past. Like, President Reagan was shot. And
on
his
watch.
It wasn't on his shift.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there that day. But, like, in our strong female character episode, I was mentioning, like, when they let down that wall, you know, you let someone in. And he kind of does that with Whitney Houston.
Right, because he lives by a code.
Yeah.
Where he does not want to get close to the people he's protecting. It's
kind of like a code of, like, the samurai warrior. Like,
well, that is not unmentioned in the movie, of course.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's a motif. They do watch a samurai movie in the movie itself.
Right.
And that's kind of like the code he lives by, the warrior code. He lives the job, you know.
Yeah, he is the job.
Yeah.
I get that.
At first, he doesn't want to take the assignment of Whitney Houston.
Because she's awesome diva.
Because
he doesn't want to
she's
deal
celebrity.
With
it. He doesn't do celebrities. That's one of his rules. But he...
Because they're just too high maintenance.
Yeah, friend talks him into it, so he does. And
it's good money. Can't really resist that. Mm-hmm. I can imagine if I were, you know, a female looking at that, you know, that's attractive. This is a guy who can take care of business and he'll protect you.
Yeah, but I like the fact that this guy always knows what to do in every situation.
When they're rolling up to her property and he realizes they're being followed, and everyone else is carrying on this conversation and he's watching what's going on outside. He's the only one that has any idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, stop the car. And he flies out and starts running. And everyone's like, what? And the car takes off and it's kind of this dramatic moment.
Yeah.
And he's running on foot chasing this car. It's just like, fuck. I want to be Kevin Costner, man.
Yeah.
Let me set you straight about a few things, Frank. For starters, I love this lady. What I do for her, I do out of love. I'm not some hired fucking gun who's here to make her life miserable. I do things the way she likes. Her happiness is everything to me.
No problem. I'd like to know how you handle things, Tony.
I handle things fine, Frank. You watch me and you'll learn something.
Turn right here.
Is that him?
What's going on?
Shortcut.
You want me to do 180?
No, I don't want you to do 180. I want you to slow down.
Take the car up to the house. Hey!
everybody in that house takes to him.
Yeah.
Except for Cy, who is her publicist.
Who's just a prick.
Yeah, he's just a Hollywood insider type of guy.
Yeah.
But everybody loves him.
Yeah.
And eventually Whitney Houston falls for him, too. But he's just immediately...
No, I get it. That's cool.
...taken to by everyone.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like that.
What's your number five?
Not dissimilar from yours, actually. I don't think you've seen this movie. It's Bullet.
Heard of it.
Steve McQueen in Bullet.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first Steve McQueen movie I had ever seen. I'm sorry, I take that back. It was the second. The first Steve McQueen movie I ever saw was The Getaway. And he was awesome in The Getaway. But...
Did they remake The Getaway?
They did. So when I went and sat down to watch Bullet, you know, I was kind of expecting that very famous car chase in San Francisco, which it's kind of known for.
All right.
I expected a very aloof, you know, oh, I'm so cool kind of... I heard about the coolness
well,
of...
What is he? What's his character?
His name is Bullet.
Okay.
And
what's he do?
He's a cop.
Okay.
And something happens. I forget what, but something happens.
His name is Bullet.
Yeah. He's put,
is that a nickname?
No, it might be a nickname. I really don't remember.
Okay. Was it like Bullet Jones? I don't know. It sounds weird.
But he's in charge of this kind of police unit that's put in charge of babysitting and protecting this witness. It goes bad at the very beginning. The witness gets killed or almost gets killed. I think he ends up saving the witness.
All right.
And he realizes it was an inside job, that the force... you know, is in on it.
Okay.
The police force. So he can't trust anybody. So he has to, with his wits, figure out how to keep this witness safe, not only from the police, but from...
This witness is a woman, I'm guessing.
No, it's a man.
Oh, it is a man.
Who, he's also protecting from this politician guy who's dirty. And he knows this politician's dirty, and it's the politician that's actually behind trying to get this guy killed. It's, I think Robert Vaughn plays the politician.
All right.
He's pretty fucking awesome.
All right.
You know, I went in there thinking Steve McQueen was just going to be very two-dimensional, basically. Very flat. He's not at all. He is a very quiet man in the movie. Very modest. You know, almost... I want to say almost like Jedi-like. Kind of, he lives in a very modest apartment. You know, very very content with kind of what he has and what he doesn't. He's okay with it. He's got a girlfriend. She kind of nags at him, whatever, but...
He's got a philosophy he sticks to.
Yeah, not like some, like, you know, Jedi philosophy or like you were saying, you know, with Costner's character. Not
like
some
Dalton.
He's not Dalton. But he's just kind of a simple needs kind of a guy.
Okay.
You know, he gets caught up in this situation. He has to deal with it with his wits, sometimes with his fists, which he does quite effectively. What he exudes is this quiet confidence. He talks to people respectfully. He's got a charisma. I mean, he's Steve McQueen. And when I saw this movie, I got it. I was like, oh, that's why he's Steve McQueen. I went into it expecting this very two-dimensional thing, but it's not. He was really quite layered. But he's got this thing about him. You're just like, damn, I wish I could be like that. He just seems so comfortable in his own skin. There's you should really check it out. There's a quality about this guy.
What year was it made?
This was 1968. Really good movie.
Nice.
But anyway.
My number four is Martin Q. Blank from Gross Point Blank.
All right.
What?
No, okay.
What's wrong with that?
Who doesn't want to be John Cusack? He's fucking awesome.
Okay.
I'm surprised he's your four, is what I'm kind of laughing at.
Well, that's just the way I placed it.
I'll be honest with you, I put John Cusack as an alternate, but it was John Cusack in anything, because John Cusack is John Cusack.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
I would choose any role of John Cusack, because I have such a man crush on John Cusack. I would be that guy in real life. I would just be him.
Yeah.
I just want to be
him. I want to be his friend. I want to know him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
I'll be him in anything. I'll be him in Serendipity.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be him in... One Crazy Summer.
No, I get it.
It doesn't matter.
A scene in Gross Point Blank, which to me kind of exemplifies why chicks like him and why we can man crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when he's met up again with Debbie.
Mini driver.
Yeah, mini driver. And they go to that restaurant or bar or whatever it was. And they encounter that girl who knows them both from high school. She's all, Martin Blank!
Yeah.
Where have you been? And he just immediately starts bullshitting with her. And he's like, oh, I work for Kentucky Fried Chicken. She's all, really? Because she's drunk off her ass. So he's just playing.
Yeah.
He's all, yeah, I sell chicken across the heartland.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like puts his head in his hand and just starts talking and playing and smiling. And he's very easy on the eyes.
Really? Oh, yeah. My God. It's Marvin and Debbie. It's me, Amy. Amy.
Yes, you're still together. Oh, God, you are the coolest couple.
Whoa,
still are. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You want my drink?
No, go.
No, don't worry about a thing.
Debbie, I love your show. It's so timeless.
Yeah, it does run a little long sometimes.
Marvin, are you here for the reunion?
Sure.
Where have you been these last 10 years?
Yeah, Marv, where you been?
You look great.
Thanks, I work at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
You do not.
I do. I sell biscuits and gravy all over the Southland.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You're so funny. He's a funny guy.
You know, Tim, my husband.
Well, listen, why don't I get you two another drink and you guys can just catch up.
Oh, could I have a stoli with three olives and onion?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have what she's having.
Sure.
Cusack has from day one in his movies brought about this quality. He's kind of like an everyman, but not... You know, you feel like you could know him, and he's accessible.
Yeah, you're never intimidated by him. But
no,
you look
no,
up to
not
him.
Like some like star quality. You know, yeah. You feel like he's kind of stayed level headed throughout all of his characters. You kind of feel that. But I get it, man. He's got this thing about him.
Yeah, well, I chose from Gross Point Blank because of his character, sure. In that he plays an assassin who's always dressed in black.
Yeah.
And he's good with a gun, and he's always wisecracking. He's sarcastic. He's surly.
And he's the employee of no one. He is master to himself. Only.
Yeah, he's self-employed.
Yeah, and that's like one of the whole beefs of the movie. Yeah. You know, someone wants him to work for him. He's like, fuck you, I work on my own.
It's like,
I answer to no one.
It's like, I like the lifestyle. Look at the way I dress. You
exactly.
Know? He is who he is.
Yeah.
He's like Steve McQueen, comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah.
It's just a job to him. He's like, yeah, that's one of the things he says. It's, you know, why do people think it's personal?
Yeah,
it's just a job.
Yeah, my psych profile indicated a certain moral flexibility.
It's just, you know, it's...
And the way he handles the bully in the high school.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that comes up to him wanting to fight.
He'll use words when violence isn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to bring that guy down.
And he does that because of that quality and that charm that just John Cusack has, that he exudes.
Like you said with Steve McQueen, he brings his voice down. He speaks softly.
Yeah. He doesn't need to yell to get your attention.
Yeah, it's like, there is no you and me. We don't exist.
Yeah. You knew in that moment as that character, he could have killed that guy or taken him out without a second thought. But he didn't. He did it in this very cool way. And that, I get it. Totally. Awesome.
What's yours?
My number four is Trent from Swingers. Vince Vaughn's Trent. What do you say about Vince Vaughn, especially in that movie? I mean, this was his like breakout.
He's money,
role.
Baby.
Vince Vaughn is money in this
beautiful
movie.
Babies. I don't care if I end up with her. I want to be beautiful baby friends.
I don't care. You know,
he is pretty good in that movie.
He is the ultimate
the
like player. You know, he's so cool and so charismatic.
But he's also a good friend too.
He is and he isn't. You know, he's a good friend to
but
Mikey.
But he looks out for Mikey.
But at the end of the day, there's only so far you can trust Trent. Because Trent will kind of probably let you down. Trent will be late when you need him to be on time. You know, Trent will get you laid. Trent will take care of you. Trent will back
you
when a fight happens. You
but
know?
He's not just a player. There is a good sense of friendship between the
yes,
two.
Yes, there
I mean,
is.
He does genuinely
he
care
does
for
genuinely
him.
Like Mikey, yeah.
Look. You take yourself out of the game. You start talking to him about puppy dogs and ice cream. Of course, it's going to end up on the friendship tip.
Just don't think she liked me in that way.
Baby, you are so money, and you don't even know it.
Look, T. Girls don't go for me the way they go for you.
Hey, Michelle went for you, right? It's different. Why? How is that different?
You're younger. It was college. You didn't go to college. You don't know how it is. The girls are young. They drink. They don't know any better.
Do you know how stupid that sounds? Listen to me, Mike. Your self-esteem is low right now because she's with somebody else. But talking about it and thinking about it all the time, it's depressing. It's no good, man.
You just need a little more time.
Why, so you can sit around your stuffy apartment beating yourself up over it? Remember the first week after she told you?
Don't remind me.
Huh? You couldn't even leave your place. You know, you just sat around your stuffy apartment, sitting there, drinking orange juice, feeling sorry for yourself. Now look at you, man, right? I mean, you got a part in a movie.
Day.
Whatever, Mike, it's work. You understand? You're doing what you love to do. What the hell is she doing now?
Selling scrap metal.
Okay. And this guy she's seeing, what the hell does he do?
Drive a carriage.
What?
I heard he drives a carriage around Central Park.
Oh, Mike, please. You're the fun-loving, outgoing party guy, and you're sweating some lawn jockey. Jesus Christ! I'm telling you, man, you're better off without this girl. You gotta trust me on this, Mike. All right, buddy?
Stop talking. Shut up. Okay, I'm gonna try. I promise you, I will shut up if you shut the hell up, and we're gonna make this work.
You're damn right you're gonna try. Let's get home.
Los Angeles.
There's a part just like at the end. I mean, that this tells you who Trent is. When Mikey's trying to tell him, hey, look, man, I've kind of like, I found myself. And all that shit that I was dealing with, I feel better.
He doesn't.
He's distracted. Dude, hold on. There's this hot chick over there looking at me.
Yeah.
You know, he's like there for a little bit. So you can only count on him so
much. Well, yeah, that's, but, you know, there's two strong friendships in that movie. One is with Vince Vaughn. The other is with Ron Livingston. He's the one who has the real conversations with the real emotional.
Exactly. Things. Exactly. Rob won't get you laid. Between the two of them, he's got a really great balance because he's got Trent, the ultimate party friend, and then he's got Rob, you know, who's his really
Ron
good
Ron Livingston
friend.
Is the one who comes to his apartment when Mikey's sitting there, you know, wearing the tank top and sitting on the floor. And
he's the one that babysits him through all the depression.
Yeah.
You know. And Vince is the
one
that will,
That
will make him forget it because he'll be out partying with him or whatever. Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I get that. But you know, Vince Vaughn is just so slick, and the terminologies that they used in that movie were so unique.
He's the kind of guy that lights up a room like that.
Yeah, he walks in and he is he's the party.
Yeah,
he's a walking party, and the
he's the kind of guy you would want to go to parties with and hang out with.
Exactly,
he's fun, and I've had friends like that.
Sure. On the other hand, you will always be a shadow to a guy like that because they are such a dominant force.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you will always play second fiddle to a guy like that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, why kind of people are drawn to him because he is such a force. And he's just so effortlessly kind of cool to be around. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it never seems like an act. It's always...
He's got an attitude about him of, I just don't give a fuck. I don't care. You know, and not like... Not like, oh, I could kill you, don't care. It's just, when he's talking to him, he didn't care. He'll get that one, whatever. He'll get that one instead. You can have her. She's hotter. She's yours this time. I'll get the other one. Doesn't care. Totally laid back. Not a worry in the world. That's kind of cool and attractive, you know, on many levels. So
that's an excellent choice.
Yeah, I thought so. So we're at your three. Four? Three.
My number three is Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Really?
Not because he's a serial killer or that he's...
All right, no,
demented into believing he's killing people.
Okay.
It's his style, and specifically Christian Bale in that role. The way he, you know, this is going to sound gay.
Himself.
This is going to sound gay, but he is toned.
Oh yeah.
There's a scene, you know, where they show him in the shower, you know, and they show him exercising. Yeah. He is toned. He's not ripped like Arnold Schwarzenegger Commando, but he's toned, so it's not too much, but it's
I totally get that. I've used his character in that movie as an example of, if I could design my physique, I was like, that's perfect, because he's not like some hulking monster.
Yeah.
He's just extremely fit.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I had that kind of gay moment when I was watching that movie for the first time. Like, man, he looks good.
Like, shit.
And, I mean, it's all style. It's all style. You know, he looks great. He looks great in the suits, the way he carries himself.
And there is something like almost sadistically attractive about how utterly self-involved he is.
Yes.
And he makes
I'm not saying I would want to have all of those qualities.
Right.
But the way he carries himself.
But you got to admire that he does it, and he does it successfully.
Yes,
you know?
He does.
He makes it work for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's so self-indulgent. No one in the world is more important than him. And he wears it well.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, it doesn't make my list.
This is my favorite track, Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics.
In 87, Huey released this. Four, their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul! Try getting a reservation and torsion now, you fucking stupid bastard! You fucking bastard!
loves the sound.
He
of
loves
his
the sound
voice.
Of his own
he
voice.
He loves monologuing. Yeah, which is funny.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, he's sitting there. You know, he brings two hookers up to his room. Yeah. He's fucking them, and all the time he's looking in the mirror, flexing. You know, it's just ridiculous. But it's funny. But it's like I said, it's not all. Those,
I know, but he's like looking at it and smiling. Yeah, at himself. It's not, he's not looking at them. He's looking at himself.
It's not all those self-indulgent qualities. It's like you said with Vince Vaughn being slick. Right. He's just very cool.
You know, you've seen that in other kind of supporting B-role characters where they're very full of themselves.
Yeah.
But most of the time with them,
it's a very superficial.
It's not. I don't want to say it's an act, but you don't. You know, it's just them trying to build themselves up because they like were really insecure with him. You're like, fuck. If I was looking at that, I'd be pretty happy with that too.
Yeah. It's just very superficial choice. Looking at it from a standpoint, like if I were a woman, I would be very attracted to this man.
Most of them weren't, though. Like, the hookers, they fucking were disgusted
by him. Well, I'm talking about looking at him, the way he carries himself.
Right.
The way he lives. I would find that very attractive.
That's cool.
And physically, he's a very good-looking man.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I get that.
Right, what's your next one?
My number three is Nick Naylor from...
Thank you for smoking.
Thank you for smoking.
But what does he say? I have a degree in kicking butt and taking names. As he's like swinging a baseball bat.
Nick Naylor is this spokesperson for the tobacco company. Yep. He is the voice of tobacco, and he has made a career of slinging bullshit.
Yeah,
and he does it with such charm and such charisma.
My mommy says smoking's bad. Well, how would you know? Is your mom a doctor? He's just, he will fight against anybody.
Well, he explains this to his son. His son is writing a report and has to write, why is America the best country ever? Or something like that.
Why is America's government the best government?
Right.
Right.
After laughing off the question, he explains, he's like, you can write anything you want if you argue it properly.
Yes.
And the kid's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I could tell you that America's great because we have the highest execution rate or whatever, this or that. And they're all right.
As long as you defend your position.
As long as you defend it. And then for at another scene in the movie, he tries to give him a one-on-one example. Like, you defend chocolate ice cream, I'll defend vanilla. And he makes a point of telling him, he's like, I'm not actually fighting you. He's like, that's how I'm going to win this. Because I'm not trying to defend my thing, which is just going to become an opinion fight. I'm just going to try and make you look bad. And then I win. So I don't have to prove you wrong. I don't have to prove myself right. I just have to prove you wrong, and I win. And when he goes in there and he comes up with the idea of selling cigarettes again in movies, and he just completely wins over the boardroom by sweet talking everybody. He's
it's sweet talking, but he's confident without being arrogant.
Exactly. In fact, I fucking love it. And every time the scene comes on, when he goes and he has to deliver money to Sam Elliott's character, who is dying of cancer, and his job is to take what is essentially hush money to Sam Elliott, who is violently pissed off at tobacco because he's dying of cancer, and they've basically written him off. And he's bringing him like millions of dollars as a payoff, and he knows what it is. And Sam Elliott's not stupid; he knows what it is. And he's got to somehow get this angry guy to take this money and not shoot him in the process. And he does it. And when you watch, they don't like cut away and come back. You watch him from start to finish work Sam Elliott over and churn him to where he wants him to be. And you absolutely believe it. He's just so smooth. But yeah, like not in a cocky, arrogant son of a bitch way. You just think, oh, shit, I do exactly what that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
He somehow makes you see what he wants you to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his gift. That's why he is what he is in this movie.
When I think of him, you know, scenes of him, you know, winning people over, I always think of the boardroom scene when he's introducing the idea of bringing cigarettes back to movies.
That's what I just said, like a couple minutes ago. Weren't you here?
I guess I missed that.
I told you.
I didn't hear you.
He was like sweet talking the board and giving. He was talking.
I didn't see you mention
buying that girl her favorite brand.
I didn't hear you say Slims. Movies or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, when you listen to this again, you're gonna feel kind of silly.
Sorry. So, I guess I slept on that part. So.
Yeah. No.
1927. Talking pictures are bored. Suddenly, directors need to give their actors something to do while they're talking. Cary Grant, Carol Lombard are lighting up. Betty Davis, a chimney. And Bogart, remember the first picture with him and Lauren Bacall?
Well, yeah, well, not specifically.
Oh. She sort of shimmies in through the doorway. 19 years old. Pure sex. She says, anyone got a match? And Bogey throws the matches at her. And she catches them. Greatest romance of the century. How'd it start? Lighting a cigarette. These days, when someone smokes in the movies, they're either a psychopath or a European. The message Hollywood needs to send out is smoking is cool. We need the cast of Will and Grace smoking in their living room. Forrest Gump puffing away between his box of chocolates. Hugh Grant earning back the love of Julia Roberts by buying her favorite brand, her Virginia Slims. Most of the actors smoke already. If they start doing it on screen, we can put the sex back into cigarettes.
Well, it's a thought. I was hoping for something a little more inspiring, but at least you're thinking. Rest of you people, slam your fucking brains against your desks until something useful comes out.
But then when he meets Rob Lowe's character, you think Nick Naylor's awesome. This guy is like a whole nother level of master sweet talker bullshitter.
Yeah.
And even he himself in his own voiceover goes, damn, I could learn a lot from this guy.
Right.
You don't, he's extremely confident, but yet he still thinks he's got something to learn. That's endearing, man. That's really cool. And he does have a heart. It's not like he's some like sociopath just selling cigarettes to people. I mean, this is just a job, something he does
well,
very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, his relationship with his son is
he does
more
love
like
his
moral
son.
Compass in the movie.
Yeah. And he feels genuinely betrayed when Katie Holmes, you know, betrays him.
Yeah, that's the only time anybody, you know, gets the best of him, but he gets his revenge.
Exactly. You know, you just get the feeling that he's very smart, and he's just good. He's really... I just love how smooth-talking he is, and how he does it while not coming off as this cocky, arrogant guy. He's not threatening. You know, there's a... What will be my number one is very similar, except he comes off as very cocky. This guy could just sell you, you know, chocolate when you're wearing white. You know, you just buy it. Anyway.
Catch up popsicle while wearing white gloves.
That's it.
Yeah. My number two is Captain Ron.
Captain Ron
from Captain Ron.
All right.
I think his full name is Ron Rico.
Is it?
I think that's what he says. All He's right. just billed as Captain Ron, but I think...
Well, I learned that driving the Sarah.
Yeah.
The what? Saratoga.
Yeah. Oh, they'll get out of the way. I learned that driving the Saratoga. The USS Saratoga? Yep. The old Sarah. Yep.
Pirates. Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, yeah, you may think this is a little silly, and yeah, he's...
No.
He's not...
No explanation needed. I totally get it.
Yeah, you may think he's...
Kurt Russell is awesome.
I like Kurt Russell a lot. Yeah. I think he's very underrated. I think he doesn't get his just desserts.
I agree.
But I was always very attracted to Captain Ron. I mean, Kurt Russell is a very good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking guy, yeah.
But, you know, in this, he's playing that kind of vagabond with dreads and,
right.
and whatnot. But it's his charm. He's kind of dim-witted. He's not that, you know, but it's his charm. And he's just so likable.
You know, I'll tell you what. You probably don't even know subconsciously, but, like, from... Now that you brought it up, now that I have to think about it, there's a couple moments in that movie where he kind of drops the kind of dumb guy routine.
A couple of times.
And he does something intentional and sweet thoughtful.
Oh, I know.
And that brings balance. If it wasn't for those moments, I don't think he'd probably end up on your list.
No,
but when
he
stops and he fakes the leg injury so the dad can save the boat.
Yeah, right.
You're like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, my leg healed. You know, I've always been a fast healer. Of course, I believe in Jesus. I mean, yeah, I know. You know, he does do that.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, you know.
And that's why you buy him. Because you think someone this stupid and this reckless couldn't live.
But he's just, so charismatic.
He is.
And so likable. It's almost the second he's on screen, and the family just takes to him immediately.
Of course, everyone, because you're
everyone just falls in love with him.
Yeah,
you know the son, his Martin Short's son.
Yeah,
completely falls in love. With
Hey, squad, what are you doing?
You know, he gives him shit duty on the boat, but he loves.
But that
Captain
kid
Ron.
Would do any. He'd shovel shit for him.
Everybody just loves him, and it's because he is so easy to like.
He is.
He's just fun to be around.
Yeah, I mean. For Martin Short's character, he's an absolute nuisance. That's only because he feels a sense of competition with him.
Of course.
Everyone else doesn't because they're not competing with him.
Well, it's a genuine article, all right. Fairchild Marine, 1,200 ponies.
Whoa.
It drops a lot of
oil, doesn't it?
Hey, all diesels do that.
All diesels do that, honey.
Yeah, diesels love their oil like a sailor loves his rum.
Yes, they do. Why is that, Captain Ron?
Well, nobody knows. All right, now, we're going to have to check the oil and fill her up every morning before we run up. It's a greasy job, but somebody's got to do it.
Well, Ben, that sounds like a good job.
It's too important, boss. You'd better do it. You handle taking out the trash, Swap.
Oh, man, that stinks.
Ben.
Hey, Swap. Come here. Listen up. On the way where shipboard is, you do your job. You do it good, you get a better job. Maybe you get promoted from Swab to mate. All right, get on. Yeah, sort of incentive kind of a deal, huh?
Ah, that's good.
Yeah, incentives are important. Learn that in rehab.
Hey, Clarice. Babe, what are you waving at? Yeah, I thought so. You know, as soon as I saw Clarice, I knew where we was, because, you know, confidentially, I had this trouble with the ties before. Have a good time, boss. So I'm gonna. You can't, this is an audio podcast, but, you know, he does that motion off the boat, and he has that grin on his face. It's just hilarious.
No, that's a good choice. I get it. You know, he's very carefree and just lovable. You can't help but like
I think, you know, Kurt Russell playing Captain...
You wouldn't trust him with your house or your family.
No.
But you sure as hell would love to be around him because he's just a damn fun
But
time.
Like, you know, Kurt Russell has... his other famous role is Snake Plissken.
Snake Plissken.
But I think Captain Ron is right on the level of Snake Plissken.
People forget how good he is at comedy.
He is very good at comedy.
His character in Overboard is not dissimilar from Captain Ron. He's kind of like the character from Overboard, like on acid, you know, in a way. Because he's kind of not bright, kind of carefree, doesn't make the best choices.
I think you need to watch Overboard again.
Yeah, well,
I think you're getting a little off.
I'm sticking with that. But okay. I think he's one of those people, kind of like Bill Pullman, where because he's done some serious things, people forget how gifted he is at comedy.
That he can be funny.
Yeah, and very funny at that. You know, it's not like an accident, so...
Well, that's like Val Kilmer. Like, people see him now and think...
And forget how
And say you pop in
be.
Top Secret, mm-hmm. That will just be a complete 180.
Right, right. You make, that's the guy from Top Gun? You know, like
yeah,
that. Yeah,
right, exactly.
No, I get it, totally. All right, so we're on to my number two.
Okay.
My number two is kind of tricky, because I'm picking the actor, but I'm picking two roles he did. I just couldn't decide.
Bit of a cheat, okay.
So it's kind of a cheat. So I'm going to say Bruce Greenwood, either as... Captain Pike in the new Star Trek movie.
All right.
Or in JFK as JFK.
You mean 13 Days?
That's what I meant. Okay. Sorry. As JFK in 13 Days.
Okay.
There is just something about this guy. He's a good looking guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's not...
he's very handsome.
Yeah. He's not like, I want to say Tom Cruise, like Studley-ish kind of good looking guy. He's more in the line of like... Harrison Ford, he's got kind of an everyman good look to him. He's got very, you know, clean lines to his face.
He's got a very good, rich voice.
He's got a rich voice, but he's got a gravitas to him. He's got a gravitas and a weight to his presence.
Good evening, my fellow citizens. This government, as promised, has maintained the closest surveillance of the Soviet military buildup on the island of Cuba. Within the past week... Unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island. The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere. Acting therefore in the defense of our own security and under the authority entrusted to me by the Constitution, I have directed that the following initial steps be taken immediately. First, to halt this offensive buildup, a strict quarantine on all offensive military equipment under shipment to Cuba is being initiated. All ships of any kind, bound for Cuba, from whatever nation or port, will, if found to contain cargoes of offensive weapons, be turned back. Second, I have directed the continued and increased close surveillance of Cuba and its military buildup, and should these military preparations continue, further action will be justified. I have directed the armed forces to prepare for any eventualities. And third, it shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States, requiring a full retaliatory response upon the Soviet Union.
I remember watching some of the extras for Star Trek, and they were talking to the other actors in the movie, and they were just in awe of him. And it's not like this guy has done some big blockbusters or whatever. You know, he's kind of a working man's actor, but he's just got this presence. And I would follow him into battle. And he did a TV show called Nowhere Man.
Well, you know,
which I found him in, and he was fantastic.
Well, I can connect with it on the role from 13 Days.
Right.
Not only does he do an incredible job portraying JFK, the situation he is in during the Cuban Missile Crisis and the various situations he has to find himself in, you know, dealing with certain types of people and the various ranges of emotion he has to go through.
Yep.
I think that's an excellent choice. I would definitely go with the role from 13 Days
as well. Either way, it's a presence that he has.
Yeah, there's, I agree. He does have a presence.
There's something about him. Can't put my finger on it even exactly. It's partly his look.
He also plays the president in National Treasure 2, which he actually did a really good job of.
Really? Okay, yeah. Cool. So are we under your two or your one?
I think this is my number one.
All right, do it. I have a feeling we might hit the same thing here.
Okay. My number one is Jake Vig.
Yep. I
from
knew it.
Confidence.
Yep. That's cool. We can go out on the same one. All right.
2003. This was directed by James Foley. Edward Burns plays Jake Vig.
It does not get any cooler than Jake Vig.
Yes. Now, that's I have a giant poster of Confidence sitting behind me.
Yep.
And
his quote in that is, lying, cheating, manipulating.
All comes very natural.
All comes very natural to me.
Yeah. Now, we love this movie.
Yeah. Because of him.
Sure, but we love this movie. Yeah. We love everything about it. Yeah. The style, the writing, the characters. Mm-hmm. This is one of our mutual favorite films.
Right.
We love this movie. Seen it so many times. Sure. We know, like, every...
Backwards.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But we love Jake Vig. We love his portrayal of Jake Vig.
I've talked to many other guys who have seen this movie. And, they, you know, they may not be movie buffs and kind of rewatch the way we do. But they get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is... Every guy wants to be Jake Vig. He's just so fucking cool.
Slick.
Yeah.
He's slick. Not only is he very, you know, he's a very attractive man.
Yeah, well, he's perfect.
He is just so good at what he does.
Uh-huh.
And you can't tell if he's lying or not.
You have
you're
idea.
A good grifter, man. It's hard to tell when you're lying.
It's hard.
You're a good grifter, man. It's hard to tell when you're lying. It's hard.
He's just that good at what he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's got, you know, he's got his crew, and they all look up to him.
Yep.
I don't know what else I can say about this guy.
As the character in that movie, and he's been in other movies that I like him in, but yes, it is this character. Not so much Ed Burns and She's the One or whatever. It's this character of Jake Vig.
Mm-hmm.
He's your brother. He's your dad. He's, in the case of Rachel Weisz, he's the guy you want to be with. If you're Dustin Hoffman, he's the guy you want to beat.
Right.
He's everything.
Even Dustin Hoffman is in awe of him.
He is. Dustin Hoffman's like in love with him in this movie.
Yeah.
He's like, he's got a man crush on him the second he sees him. He's like, God damn, boy, look at you, or something like that. It's like, good Lord, just look at you. You're like, he just can't shut up.
No, he's like, oh man, you're kind of cute there too.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And he kind of like starts petting his hand. He's kind of enamored with him.
You must be pretty good. You got cops driving you around, huh? Is that because you look so innocent and you're kind of cute there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's something like that.
He's just so smooth and so slick.
Yeah.
He can do anything. You know, he woos Rachel Weisz, and she seems like she's going to be all hardcore and kind of, you know, whatever. It's kind of standoffish, but he beds her. And I just would want to be...
He can do some pretty dick things, and you still like him.
Yeah, I would
When he tells off Rachel Weisz...
But that's part of the con.
Granted, but we don't know that.
No, we don't know that. But that's because he's
like,
so good at his job.
Who are you? Who the fuck are you to have a voice in this room?
Yeah.
And he straight hands her ass in a total dick way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we fucked once. That does not entitle you a voice in this room.
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Sweetheart, we fucked once, okay? That does not entitle you a voice in this room. I don't think I didn't know you weren't working some angle that night either.
Easy, Jake. That's a lady.
Everyone's working an angle, right?
There are three people I trust in this world. Those two guys on the couch and a dead guy. You, I don't know you. You're like a stray dog that wandered into my house one day looking for a belly rub. So why don't you just go back to wherever it is you came from? You don't have anybody looking for you. Not the king, not Butan, not Price. Okay, so just cut loose of this. It is over.
What about...
What about what?
What about the money?
There it is, huh? That little itch you need to scratch. Always about the money. Well, what do you want? You want an apology?
No. I want my cut.
Take a deep breath, count to 10, and try and get it through your thick skull. There is no cut.
You're an asshole.
Very good.
And you're just like, oh, boy. I don't want to be that. But yet, you're like, I wish I could talk to women like that way. Because she still wants him after that.
Yeah.
You know? It's fucking awesome. Awesome. And, you know, the guy that kind of becomes buddies with the crew, what's his name? The guy that's assigned.
Lupus.
Lupus. You know, Lupus is kind of an intimidating looking dude. I mean, you don't want to scrap with Lupus. He looks mean. Mm-hmm. And Jake Vig's not intimidated by this guy. You know, even when Lupus tells him, he's all, Jake, don't take a swing at me. I've seen
you fight.
You know, it doesn't matter. He's Jake Vig. He's not intimidated by anyone because he can look you straight in the eye and talk you down. Or whatever. He's just so gifted with words. He's who I was referring to when I was talking about Nick Naylor.
Okay.
You know, it's that same confidence with words.
Without being arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Jake Vig is arrogant. And he's got an ego. There's no getting around that. Nick Naylor doesn't exude ego or anything like that, which is why he's so disarming. That's the thing about Nick Naylor. He's just disarming the second you meet him. That's why he's able to pull you in, because you don't put your walls up. With Jake Vig, anyone kind of encountering him knows he's up to something.
I just love this guy. I would love to be him.
Yeah.
In that movie.
Literally, guys that I brought it up, they just go, "Yeah, dude, I get it."
Yeah, yeah. It's no question.
It's understood. Every guy wants to be him. They want to look like him. They want to dress as snazzy as him. They want to talk like him. Yeah, totally.
Well,
I knew we'd both get that.
I had a feeling. Yeah. So I'm glad we got to share this as our number one.
All right, cool.
Did you have any alternatives?
Well, my only alternative was, like I said, I mentioned John Cusack in anything, just anything. And my only other alternate, just kind of a side mention, is Cliff Secord in The Rocketeer.
That's cool.
Played by Bill Campbell.
I like Bill Campbell.
That guy's really cool. He's got such a great quality. I don't know what it is. He's a leading man. There's no doubt about it. He is a leading man.
But I would agree with you.
He's got a smile. He just sucks you right. It's not that he's like some great smooth talker. It's not really like that. It's just a matter of that he's got this earnest quality look to him.
Okay.
You have any backups?
Just one. Jason McCullough from Support Your Local Sheriff.
All right. That's cool. I get it.
Very laid back. I probably would have gone with that if you had gotten to Jake Vig first.
Oh, okay. No, I get that's cool. Very laid back quality to him. Yeah.
Well, he's very laid back, but he's also a little selfish at first.
He is too. But no, I get that. That's
cool under pressure will only result to violence when it's necessary.
Right.
He always talks everybody down first. Mm-hmm. He's just that witty and quick.
That's cool. No, I like that. Good choice. All right. Well, this was kind of fun. Like we said, this is kind of our gay crush,
man crush,
gay episode. So
it was fun though.
Yeah, I had a good time.
I don't mind being a little gay.
No, I'm confident in my own sexuality.
Yeah, a lot of guys would find it hard to do it.
How these guys have qualities that I admire or like or whatever. So
yeah.
Okay, so that being that, this is Justin, and talk to you later.
This is Josh. Good night.